Hi everyone, my name is Alex Fang. I'm a member of Soul Church. Today's Bible reading is Luke 24, verse 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Hi everyone, I'm Kim Jager and I work with the Presbyterian Inland Mission. Some of you already know me, but for those who don't, Presbyterian Inland Mission works with people in rural and remote places throughout Australia, and I do the Tasmania Patrol. So most weeks I'm out driving around the Midlands area, especially. But as you can imagine at the moment, that's not possible. We can't risk taking the coronavirus from the city out to rural areas. So my patrol work now is all done from my office desk. The trusty four-wheel drives just resting in the driveway, hardly being used at the moment. But we feel at PIM that it's so important that we just don't disappear out of people's lives at this really difficult time. So we're doing our patrolling on the phone, and we're trying each week just to keep in touch with people, encouraging Christians who are out in rural areas and they may not have the support of people like us who have city churches. And then also we support and visit lots of people who are unbelievers, and it's a really important time for us to keep in touch with them at a time when a lot of people are really being shaken and perhaps our normal securities aren't there. It's a time for us to care for people, to show real genuine concern and to look for opportunities to share the gospel with them as well. Well, I'm going to share the message with us tonight, and it's only 1 week ago that we were celebrating Easter. It's the most important date in the Christian calendar, and yet I always feel every year like it seems to go so quickly. And what I'd like to do tonight is maybe just linger for one extra week and have a look at this passage which talks about the empty tomb, and just see what we might be able to find out about it that can encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. And maybe for some of you, if you're still wondering about Jesus and about the whole Easter story, hopefully it might help to give you some answers. My daughter is studying physics in grade 12, and a few weeks ago she asked me, she said, "Dad, can you help me with my physics homework?" Well, I said, "Oh yes, look, I'll give it a go." So she came up with this page of physics, and I had a look at it for about a minute, and after a while I said to her, "This just looks like nonsense." And I actually joked with her after a bit and said, "Look, I think somebody's just made all this up. It can't mean anything, surely. It's probably not even true. Now, of course, it is true. But to me and to my brain, it just looked like nonsense. And that's what the disciples thought. When the women came back from the empty tomb, their words seemed to them like nonsense. So we read in verse 11, "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." And in fact, the disciples took quite some convincing to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And they had Jesus actually there with him. They were able to see Jesus. They were able to touch Jesus. And yet still it took some convincing for them to actually believe. So we need to be patient with people when they find that the resurrection to them just seems like nonsense. Indeed, the whole Easter story, the cross, the crucifixion, and the resurrection might seem to them like nonsense. We need to be patient and we need to pray for people because this is where the Holy Spirit works. We can't convince a person to believe in Jesus. You know that as well as I do. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we just need to pray for people and to be patient and allow the Holy Spirit to have time to work. Many years ago when I was a young fellow and I was a really keen Christian, just, full of zeal for the Lord and willing to have a good argument with anybody about Jesus. Well, at a social gathering, I met this other young fellow, and after it probably was only after about 5 minutes, we ended up launching into this argument, or maybe I could call it a debate, but it was a vigorous debate about Christianity. And I was really going for it, trying to convince him, and he was really going for it the other way, telling me what nonsense it is. And I'd have to admit that we actually got a bit hot under the collar and it was quite an interesting argument. Well, I came away from that and I just said to the Lord, this fellow will never be a believer. He will never believe in Jesus. So imagine that, there's me telling God that. But quite a number of years later, when I'd actually become a church pastor, I was invited to go to a church and share the message. And lo and behold, when we all sat down to start the service, I saw this fellow up in the music team, and he was there, he was the drummer. And I found out later on, talking to him, that over quite a number of years, he had really been wrestling over the whole Christian message. And then he'd come along to this church and they let him play drums, and he wasn't even then a believer. I'll leave you to worry about that and sort that one out. But anyway, as he sat there in the music team over probably another year or two, he eventually came to faith because the Holy Spirit worked with him. But see, it took a long time, and we need to be patient and give people time to come from a position where they look at the Easter story and think, hey, this is nonsense, to where they can actually believe and spiritually it makes sense for them. I visit this fellow out in the bush, and from time to time we get into some really deep and meaningful conversations. And often he will send me text messages, and they're really deep, and he's asking really deep questions. And I can see that the Holy Spirit is working on him, but I need to be patient. I need to give it time. It's not happening straight away, but we need to be patient and allow the Holy Spirit to work in a person's life. But what we do want is for people to wonder about the Easter story. When I was a child, one day I'd left something out in the backyard, and when the evening came, it was already dark outside, I ran outside to go and fetch this thing I'd left in the yard. I ran down the stairs and I ran just a few metres, and all of a sudden I just stopped, because the night sky, instead of being the usual dark and with just some stars, it was bright pink. And just shooting across the sky were these rays of colour. I just stood in wonder. I was just absolutely amazed by this. And after a while, I ran inside to get the rest of the family to come out and to have a look. And, of course, they explained to me that it was the aurora australis, and I'd never seen it before. And so I was just absolutely filled with wonder. Well, in the Bible text, we see that Peter found himself wondering. In verse 12, we read, "Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened." So Peter comes along. Like the women had said, the stone's been rolled away. He goes in, the tomb is empty. But it's not just that the body of Jesus has been taken away, but the grave clothes have obviously been taken off Jesus, and there they are lying there. And Peter just leaves that empty tomb wondering to himself what has happened. If only more people would wonder about the Easter story, as it is the most important story of all. What has happened to Jesus is the most important question that anyone can ever ask. In verse 11, we see that the disciples did not believe, but then in verse 12, we see that Peter, he ran to the tomb. And I think that Peter already was starting to wonder. He'd heard this report of the women and he's already wondering, what is going on here? So he had to run and see it for himself. Many people have been saying that the most important issue for humankind is climate change. In fact, they've been talking about a climate emergency and saying that we have to do something about this right now. Now, of course, that's been sidelined, that message, because of the coronavirus. So we tend to be hearing about the virus just 24/7. But going back even before the coronavirus was even thought of, I became aware of another emergency. You see, in about 2.5 years of patrolling, I had or saw three people who died, one from an accident, one from old age, and one from illness. And I became aware that this is an emergency. The imminent departure from this life is an emergency. And, of course, with the coronavirus, it's become something that we're more aware of, that, yes, this is a real emergency. Now, I'm not wanting to be morbid talking about death, and I'm not wanting to depress us either, but it's a really important issue, and we shouldn't just sweep it under the carpet. In fact, it's the one thing that everybody of every age, of every nationality, of every geographic region in the earth agrees upon, that at some stage, each and every one of us, we are going to die. And it's really important. We need to look at that. And there's a question that comes with this. What happens next? What happens when we die? And I've sort of summed it up into three main areas. Perhaps nothing happens, and when we die, we just cease to exist. There's no more consciousness. It's just like falling asleep. Or some people talk about reincarnation, that we die and then we come back as something else or as somebody else. Or the other thing is that we die, but then we still have some sort of a consciousness. There is an afterlife. And now, if we think that, if that's what we believe, then obviously we have to say that there needs to be some sort of supreme being, that there needs to be God, however you might perceive that. Because, you see, if we've just evolved, then we would die and that would be the end of it. But if there is a life after death, it would suggest that there is a supreme being, that there is God. Now, I think reincarnation is not really for most Aussies. Most Aussies tend not to think that. But the fact that nothing happens, that's quite a popular notion, that we die and we just cease to exist. Lots of people believe that. But lots of Aussies also believe that there is something after we die, that there is a consciousness, that there is some sort of life after death. Now, if there is, if that's true, if we don't just die and cease to exist, but there is some kind of life after death, then perhaps we better prepare for it. And perhaps we need to really be wondering about Jesus and the Easter story. You see, when people go for a job interview, they like to prepare for it. So they will think about, what kind of clothes should I wear? I don't want to overdress. I don't want to underdress. What should I wear? And what kind of questions am I going to be asked? And then they try and figure out the answers to those possible questions. Well, the fact is that if there is life after death, then we are going to, at some stage, end up having an interview with God. It's going to be a great interview, an amazing interview, and perhaps we better prepare for it. See, the problem is lots of people will prepare for a job interview, but for the great interview with God, they say, oh, it'll be right. I'll be right. But if we have that kind of attitude, the likelihood is that it won't be right at all. If we had that kind of attitude for a job interview, then probably we wouldn't get the job. No, we need to actually go beyond just thinking, oh, it'll be right when we meet God or this supreme being. In fact, we need to wonder. We need to wonder about it and to wonder about what it will be like. In verse 4, we read now, this is the women who have come to the tomb. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." I love that. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. If we want to have life after death, then we need to look to the living. And in this case, it is Jesus who has risen from the dead. Again, we need to be wondering about him, because there is no other name by which we can be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. In the Youth Alpha course, they come up with something that I hadn't thought about before, but they talk about the fact that people will swear using the name of God and using the name of Jesus, even if they don't believe in the Lord. And they say, isn't it interesting that we don't swear by any other name? You know, if we hit our thumb with the hammer, we don't say, oh, Donald Trump, or oh, Elon Musk, or oh, Roger Federer, or whatever name you can come up with. We just don't do that. But people swear using the name of God and using the name of Jesus. And why is that for people who don't even believe in the existence of God or Jesus? I believe they do that because Jesus actually registers in the life of each person because he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. So if we want to have life after death, we need to look to Jesus, for he died, but now he is alive. We read in verse 6, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Isn't that interesting that the two angels say that Jesus must be delivered over to the hands of sinners? He must be crucified and he must on the third day be raised again. The reason that they say that this must happen is because it is God's plan. It is God's promise recorded in the Old Testament. So we read in Daniel, and this is hundreds of years before this happened. Daniel says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is God's promise of everlasting life through Jesus. God, can we say that God was a visionary? He spoke of this hundreds of years before Jesus died on the cross and before he was raised again to life. Well, we need to be visionary as well. You see, we plan for retirement, or we plan for a new job, or we plan for marriage, or we plan to buy a house. But so often we don't plan for eternity. We don't plan for the life that is going to come as we pass on from existence as we know it now. God planned for our eternity, and we should be planning for it as well. A while back, somebody said to me, I suppose they were being fairly aggressive about Christianity, and they said to me, why are Christians so spiritual? Why are they always talking about this nonsense? All this Easter story, it's just nonsense. And they went on to say to me that preachers are of no use and churches of no use because all we do is speak about this spiritual nonsense. But you see, that is what we do because that is who we are. We are, we are Christians or Christians. We are followers of Christ. And that is what we talk about. Many years ago, I put up this carport, and it was just a carport that came in kit form, and I spent days building it. And one afternoon, an old tradie came up with his ute to just bring me a few supplies. And he got out of his ute and he walked around and he had a look at the carport. He took a few minutes. And after that, he turned to me and he said, what do you do for a job? And I said, well, I'm a church pastor. He looked at the carport again for another 10 seconds and he just said to me, I think you better stick to doing that. Well, I was a bit put out. It was really attacking my building prowess. But maybe he was being prophetic without knowing it. Maybe he was speaking the word of God, that's what I should be doing. He's speaking about the Lord. And, of course, that's what we all should be doing because we are Christians. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. The Bible actually says that we are aliens. We are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, of course, when the Bible talks about the fact that we're aliens, it's not saying that we're green men with antennae or green women with antennae or that our children aren't little green children with antennae and that we arrived on spaceships. That would be crazy. But when the Bible says we are aliens, it's saying that we actually don't belong here. We belong to a new heaven and a new earth. And in Revelations 21, it talks about this future that we are going to have with the Lord. And it says this. This is John now recounting the vision that he had. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, or coronavirus, for the old order of things has passed away." What a great thing for us to look forward to. What a great comfort that is for us in this difficult time. I love that God himself will dwell with us. He will be our God and we will be his people. So we can't help talk about the resurrection. That is who we are and it impacts our life. We are different from other people. We are people of forgiveness. We don't get around being vengeful and angry and bitter, but because God has forgiven us in Jesus, we forgive other people. We are people of God's word. We just don't at the moment spend all day listening to news about the coronavirus and then checking out social media and spending more hours seeing what people are saying. No, we go to God's word and we look at God's perspective and what God is doing in our life. And we are people of God's will. We don't just go around doing whatever we like, but we first pray and we say to the Lord, "Lord, where do you want us to go to? What do you want us to buy? What do you want us to do? What type of job do you want us to do?" So we are people of God's will. We are different to other people and we talk about spiritual things. We are people of the empty tomb. We are people of the resurrection. We are people of the new life. Now, it might just be that you're listening to this and maybe you're still wondering. Maybe you haven't come to any firm conclusion on this. Maybe you're sort of wrestling and thinking, well, the Easter story, it does sound a bit like nonsense, but, oh, look, maybe it's true. So maybe there's a wrestling in your life going on at this time. Can I encourage you to keep wondering? Be filled with wonder about the Easter story. And remember this, that God is not distant. He's not way out there somewhere, but God is near. God is close. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So don't think that God is way out there somewhere and you have to find him. It's like God is right next to you. It's like God is just right there outside of you and all you need to do is to, in faith, call on his name and you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Easter story, a true story that might sound like nonsense, but when you bring us to faith, then it all seems to make sense. And we can see Jesus dying on the cross for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. We can see that on Easter Sunday he came to life again, and that we can in him have life that goes on for all of eternity. So, Father, thank you for those of us who believe that and we're comforted by that truth. But also we pray, Lord, that you would help those who are still considering this message, who are still wondering about it. We pray, Lord, that they may come from a place of seeing it still as perhaps it's nonsense to a place of faith in their life where they can know your strength and know your comfort, and they can know that you are the Lord of their life. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.